This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do we say the biggest problem is out there? I know we got all kinds of problems, right? This issue and that issue. What's really the biggest problem? If you've been watching I'm Right here on the First TV for a while, you'll know the biggest problem is all the people who agree with us. You, me, the people who agree with the things we think, the things we say, yet they're not awake. They don't realize what's going on around them. They share our values, they share our wants, but they're not awake yet. They think everything's just kind of fine or a little different, but that brings us to our special tonight on the media. Why aren't those people awake? Are they all stupid? No, of course not. Well, I'm sure some of them are stupid, but they're not all stupid. But they're not awake. You're awake. I'm awake. Why aren't they awake? Well, the simple answer is the American media. And I'll get to my sky is green theory here in a second, but I just want you to imagine something really quickly. I want you to imagine that we live in a little village somewhere. We're not in the United States. We're in some tiny village. 100 people live in this village. And there is somebody in this village, because everyone has different roles, right? You would have a chief, and you'd have a guy, he's in charge of the livestock, and everyone has different roles, right? But one guy, it's his job to pass the word along. Okay, so if there's some news for the village, this guy, it's his job to go disseminate that news everywhere. Hey, there's a rival tribe. They're on the way with axes and bows. They're coming to kill us. Get ready. Hey, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. Make sure you batten down the hatches. You know, you got an election tomorrow. Show up. The guy whose job it is to pass down the word. Now imagine the chaos. Imagine the disaster that could be brought upon that village if that guy hated the village and actually wanted the village to burn, to end. It'd be crazy, right? Probably something he could pull off. After all, it's his job to pass the word. That's exactly what we have here in the United States of America. The American media, they're not biased, they're not left, they're not liberal, they're not broken, all these words the right will constantly use to describe the media. No, they're a hostile, insurrectionist force against this country that is absolutely, at this point in time, a national security threat, and their aim is to burn the country down. Now, back to your neighbor. Why won't he wake up? Why can't he wake up? Well, You see, I have this theory I've thrown around forever called the sky is green theory. And that theory is simply this. If the system, the media being a big part of the system, you know, media, education, government, entertainment, all the different pillars that hold up your society, if the system wanted a huge percentage of the people to believe something that everyone can see plainly isn't true, they could still be able to pull it off. If they wanted to convince half the population the sky is green, they could do it. And you might say, I'm nuts. Jesse, they could never. Jesse, I'm looking up at the sky right now. It's clearly blue. People would never remember this. But you're wrong. You underestimate the power of propaganda. You underestimate the power of shame. You see, immediately there would be scientist after scientist. I went to MIT. I'm Dr. Nerd. I have 9,000 degrees. They'd be all over television every single night on the media. Well, it's a new scientific discovery. It's actually a trick by your eyes. If you add the pronouns or whatever the heck they call those things, you'll find out the sky's green. They'd make Hollywood movies and they'd color the sky green. Your child's social studies teacher, college professor, would force your child to acknowledge the greenness of the sky or they wouldn't be able to graduate. Your kid's favorite or maybe your favorite actor, actress, sports star that I have a video up on Instagram. Hey guys, get ready for the Super Bowl. Just can't believe the green sky. Over and over and over and over and over again so that anywhere a normal person looked, again, I'm not talking tip of the spear type person like you, a normal person, anywhere they looked, they would get barraged with over and over and over again, lie after lie after lie. And soon, a huge portion of this population, 50%, would believe it. And beyond the 50%, this is the reality of the sky is green theory. And the media is really super at fault for this. The people who didn't believe it, many, many people who didn't believe it, would go along with it anyway, because they didn't want to be shamed by friends and family and coworkers on social media, in real life. Everyone gathers at a party this Friday. Everyone's got a beer, eating some Triscuits and cheese in the kitchen because Triscuits and cheese is delicious, and everybody gathers around. Man, can you believe that about the green sky? Oh, I know, I saw it on the news. Hey, I saw a doctor do it. Whoa, it's crazy. The scientists are all saying it, and there you are in the corner. It doesn't look green. Well, I'll just keep quiet. I don't want to get yelled at. That's what we have in this country. The American media brings lies on purpose to the front door of your normal friend, and that's why he can't wake up. Because his entire world is a lie and he doesn't know it. You remember the Black Lives Matter rally? People said the American media covered for all the Black Lives Matter Antifa filth as they were burning down American cities. They didn't cover for them, they cheered for them.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal morally.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's, you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
But thank goodness for the looters, man.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
That's how they covered Black Lives Matter and Antifa, street communists murdering people, torching buildings, destroying lives. That's how they chose to cover those stories. Why? Because they're all on the same side. The American media wants the same thing Black Lives Matter wants. They want the same thing Antifa wants. They all think America's evil and sucks and America should be burnt to the ground. So when they see a bunch of street animals burning down a Foot Locker after looting the newest set of Jordans, the American media, they don't choose to cover for it. Before they go on camera, they're cheering it. Woohoo! This is nice, guys. Screw America! And then they go on TV and do the, wow, I mean, show me in the Constitution. And that's why they cover you the way they cover you.
Is that messaging, calling Republicans extremists, enough, or do Democrats need to do more than that?
We have to stop separating the GOP from right-wing extremists. I mean, the party has morphed into one.
Is it as obvious as it seems that domestic violent extremists are an important part of the voting coalition on the right? I mean, what is the structural impediment to hardening the homeland against domestic violent extremism?
People like DeSantis, people like this judge, they are extremists.
You almost have to admire how they numb us to their extremism.
But can you be full-throated about the reality? Can you call out GOP extremism for what it is?
See, the BLM Antifa people, they get covered the way they get covered because the media agrees with them. You get covered, you get called an extremist, a Nazi, a white supremacist, because that's what the media thinks. They think you're an enemy of the state. That's just a fact. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Joe Biden is president for several reasons. One of those reasons is the American people were not made aware that the president, now President Joe Biden, is intimately involved with his son and has been in several different business ventures. Business ventures with hostile foreign powers. And not only is that incredible national security threat a reality, the media covered it up for you, and we knew for a fact what I just said was true before the election, because his crackhead son left his laptop at a laptop repair shop. And the American media, as you're about to see, they aren't biased, they aren't left, they aren't liberal, they aren't leaning this way. They're actively campaigning on behalf of the communists and against you, as they covered for Hunter.
There's no evidence that Hunter Biden has done anything wrong.
There is no evidence of any wrongdoing between by Biden, by Joe Biden, or by Hunter Biden.
There's no evidence that Joe Biden actually did anything wrong or did anything to sway things in Hunter Biden's favor. He's denied that his son ever lobbied him for anything. There is nothing wrong that Vice President Biden did.
President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you.
We have looked, lots of outlets have looked.
Hunter Biden did nothing wrong. Vice President Biden did nothing wrong. And every single media outlet has said that there's no there to these allegations, lies, and smears.
I've never read a memoir like this one before. This is Hunter Biden's book, Beautiful Things. It's breathtaking.
We do have an enemy of the state operating within the borders of this country, but it's not you, it's the American media. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Curtis Houck knows just a little bit about the American media. He joins us next.
The U.S. president possibly working for the Russians, possibly an unwitting pawn.
Now here's what the president said when asked if he was a secret Russian agent.
Donald Trump knows the noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening, if you will.
The noose is tightening around the president.
The noose is tightening.
And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening and that people might go to jail.
He knows he and POTUS are going to prison.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good thing.
Oh, my God.
The noose is tightening. Joining me now, my friend Curtis Houck, managing editor of the Media Research Center. Curtis, let me ask you something. Did Trump's presidency break the media or expose the media?
It exposed the media, I think, Jesse. It's one of those things where, like, you're sick and, you know, the media were sick well before that. We saw that through the Obama years, in previous administrations as well, going back to even Ronald Reagan when the MRC was founded in 1987. But really, I think it took Donald Trump to really expose that for the wider masses. It's like an ailment that if you know your body really well, or you're a fitness or health junkie, you might notice certain things, whereas, you know, a normal layperson might not until things have really progressed. So it's very similar to that. Where the news media in the Trump era just became completely deranged. You know, yes, people's brains were broken, but a lot of people were already on the precipice, and that just kind of sent them careening over the edge instead of slowly falling off the side.
Why? What was it about Trump? Now, I realize he's a strong personality. I get it. He's bombastic and charismatic and wild and did things different. But I find it so odd how many people he pushed over the edge, as you just put it. Why?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of reasons. One, yes, he was bombastic. Two, he used to be part of them. He used to be a, you know, New York City liberal who gave money and went to the same fundraisers and went to the same parties as they did in New York. And they didn't like that, that they beat them at their own game. The other part is that he was made famous in large part due to The Apprentice, something on NBC, big bad NBC News, created by Jeff Zucker, CNN, former CNN boss. And I think the other point was that when they looked at the field, the 2016 field, well over a dozen candidates, they wanted Donald Trump. Joe and Mika saddled up to Donald Trump. They shacked up with Donald Trump. They promoted him, you know, to the point that it just seemed creepy. CNN had empty podium shots because they thought that this is the guy that will beat Hillary Clinton because we don't know who he is, and he's just so unhinged. And then it backfired on them. So it not only backfired, Trump would routinely rub it in their faces and pile drive them into the ground and be able to just see through when he was being insulted. You saw that often in previous years with George W. Bush and in his folks, in his administration. The media would say horrible things about them, and they would just try and think killing with them with kindness would really do the trick. And really, the media aren't playing for keeps, and they still aren't playing for keeps. They're just they're a reflection of the wider left in this country. And so I think Trump not only identified that, said, no, we're not going to play that game anymore. I'm going to throw it back in your face. And with his press secretaries, particularly Sarah Sanders and Kayleigh McEnany, you know, bring facts to the table and make actual coherent arguments in addition to the bombast as well. So that potent combination was something that was just way too much for those people to understand. They're still grappling with that to this day.
Curtis, Jim Acosta and those like him. Actually, this little clip, I think, exposes a lot of what I want to ask.
They're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an
invasion. Honestly, you know what?
Miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
Let me ask, if I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may.
That's enough.
I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. I'm Mr. President,
excuse me, that's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have—
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic. I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts his butt.
Well, I'm not
like
a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can. You repeatedly
You are the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
okay,
of—
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people.
Okay, Curtis, Jim Acosta, everyone remembers that clown from the Trump era. But when he's standing up there and he's making a big jackass of himself, does he see himself as the vanguard protecting the country? Does he see himself as just the guy who understands this is my moment to try to increase my brand and better my career? What's going through that guy's mind?
Sadly, Jesse, I think it is the former. He really is just that full of himself. I mean, this is the same guy who went to, I believe, the Clarendon, Virginia, Barnes & Noble, and stood there with a stack of books and said, I was holding a book signing with no one behind him in, you know, the picture. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy that we're dealing with here. Or who take picture, you know, everyone knows that picture of appearing on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where it's a picture of Jim looking at himself in the mirror in the dressing room. Or I think it was Variety or one of these other entertainment magazines. It was him sitting on a park bench in New York City, just staring off into the distance, like purely, you know, just in awe of himself. I mean, so I think, yeah, this is the kind of guy who really is that full of himself, really thinks that highly of himself. I read his book. I might have been the only person in America other than maybe his parents who read this book. And it was just the complete you know, tour de force of narcissism. It was, you know, really, he's the head of the Legion of Dumb. It was just filled with petty anecdotes. Everything that he accuses Donald Trump of, he's been guilty of himself.
Curtis, all right, now the media and Joe Biden and the documents. Well, this is CBS.
We have new information on the documents marked classified that were found in President Biden's home and his former office.
And we now know that the Department of Justice took this seriously enough to have the FBI go in and search.
Well, we keep hearing about transparency, but then you hear stories like this, so it does raise even more questions.
Curtis, I think they're taking out Joe. I think this is a controlled demolition of Joe Biden so he can't run again. They don't want to take him out as in Fort Leavenworth, but take him out as in, hey, Joe, just announce you're gone so we can bring in Gavin Newsom. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely fair, Jesse. This provides them the opportunity to really have an easy out, because before this, the Mar-a-Lago raid was like their Super Bowl. And the fact that that's more or less been neutralized by Joe Biden's document scandal just really breaks their heart. The press briefings have been just absolute whirlwinds, with one question after another, both tough and seemingly normal, that Karine Jean-Pierre can't really answer. Not that she never answered, that she answered questions to begin with, but it just became all the more embarrassing. And with Joe Biden, you know, himself, the reporting on him has just been very straightforward. The news articles have been thorough. They're talking about what's missing, what the White House hasn't been saying, what we know so far. It's the who, what, where, when, why, how that we should be expecting when it comes to traditional media coverage. And when you see that of anything regarding a Democrat in terms of a negative scandal, that's a really, really bad sign for them. And I think you're right, Gavin Newsom is the guy that they're going to go to, because the Washington Post did a story recently that suggested, yeah, people, Democratic donors, people in power and on the left, not really good with Kamala Harris for obvious reasons.
Oh, poor Dome. Curtis, thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem, Jesse.
See you, bud. We'll be back.
Outages across the region. Fox 26 reporter Ivory Hecker is live in Montgomery County to take a look at that aspect.
Thanks, guys. That's right. Before we get to that story, I want to let you, the viewers, know that Fox Corp has been muzzling me to keep certain information from you, the viewers. And from what I'm gathering, I am not the only reporter being subjected to this. But as for this heat wave across Texas, you can see what it's doing to AC units. This one broken down.
I still love that. That's greatness. Joining me now, the Ivory Hecker, now an independent journalist, obviously former Fox News. But I want to remember, Ivory, I like to remember. I like to remember how companies and governments conducted themselves during coronavirus. So the floor is yours. Most people don't know the story, or if they did, they don't remember it. What happened to you?
Yeah, it was 2020 that I was assigned to cover COVID a lot. I was prior to that mainly a crime reporter. And so I went out to cover treatment at a hospital, and I happened to let viewers know the whole recipe of what a doctor was using, which included some of the items that were against the narrative, like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And so Fox retaliated against me for that and said that they needed to discipline me and ban me from covering COVID drug treatment anymore after I let viewers know what the doctor was using. Now, later on, I discovered that that particular hospital, United Memorial Medical Center in Houston, actually had a quarter of the death rate from COVID compared to other hospitals across the nation. So obviously what was being used there was working. So it really stunned me and made me step back and say, maybe my company does not have the viewer's best interest. Maybe it has its own special interests And the narrative really became controlled in a lot of areas in 2020 around the election. Something happened where I was like, okay, we're getting evidence of anomalies and we're not going to cover these election anomalies. Like something shifted there was like, okay, we need to make the viewers believe that anything about election anomalies is a big lie. And then the narrative was controlled again, going into, okay, the vaccine's been released. Okay, we're getting stories of bad side effects. Don't talk about it. And I literally had my bosses saying, Ivory, do not talk about this anywhere, neither on TV or on social media. It was very strange after a 9-year corporate news career to suddenly have the narrative controlled to such an extent that I hadn't seen before in my previous years as a corporate reporter. So that is when I decided that I needed to get out of this industry, that it was is becoming compromised to a frightening level. And so I decided to leave and happened to cross paths with Project Veritas. And they were the ones who said, I think you should call this out live on air. And so that's what I did.
Can you explain? You said they told you not to talk about this. Your boss has told you not to talk about this. But I'm sure everybody, I mean, most people aren't reporters, right? They don't understand the dynamics of a newsroom and whatnot. Did you ask why? Did they tell you why? What possible motivation could a news boss have to tell a reporter to not inform people about the successful treatment she just got?
Exactly. Well, my boss, I asked why, and my boss said, well, there's studies coming out that saying that hydroxychloroquine could be bad for you. So because of this, we're not going to talk about it whatsoever. You know, never mind that hydroxychloroquine for years had been on the World Health Org's list of essential medicines around the world for years because it is so safe and effective against other things, of course, like malaria. But for it to suddenly be branded as dangerous and hurting your heart, my bosses ran with that narrative. And that was one reason. And the other reason is they just didn't want the drama. You know, because I asked my boss, like, you know I'm not biased about this or making this up. You know, I didn't pay attention to medicine prior to this pandemic. You guys assigned me to this. You guys sent me to that hospital. You guys found me that doctor. I didn't find the doctor. Your bosses know I'm not biased, right? That I was just presenting the facts. And she's, you know, we're talking about the bosses in New York who were telling my boss to muzzle me in Houston. And my boss says, yes, we know. And the bosses know. They know how this story came to be. But we need you to stop. We need you to not talk about it anymore. And we need you to cover safe news from here on out. What is safe?
Kind of makes you wonder how much else they're covering up. Because it reminds me of this clip from then ABC reporter Amy Roebuck, this little behind the scenes video that came out of her talking about the Epstein story. Here it is.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out. And it's like these new revelations. And I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal.
Exactly. Ivory, you've been in that world. I haven't. How much do they cover up? How much truth do we never get to see?
I think there's a lot more cover up than each individual journalist even realizes, because like what was happening to me, none of my colleagues realized what was happening to me. So each one gets snuffed out individually. And she finally just went on a rant about it. But it's really interesting because developing news this week is that Amy Roebuck's colleague, James Gordon Meek, has now been arrested for child porn. But what was James Gordon Meek investigating? He was investigating the Biden administration's pullout from Afghanistan. He was working on a retired Green Beret to expose this. He had exposed inconvenient facts about the FBI, and now the FBI raids him and says that there is child porn, and he's let go from ABC. I'm just, you know, and Amy Robach's recently been let go from ABC for a strange reason, too. Some affair, even though she and the guy had both filed for divorce already. So are these journalists being snuffed out in more ways than we may be aware? CBS correspondent Cheryl Atkinson, when she was investigating the Obama administration's dirty dealings, discovered that the DOJ was spying on and surveilling her. She later found out that one of the FBI agents, she testified before Congress about that, that one of the FBI agents was attempting to place child porn on her husband's computer as retribution. So these are some horrifying, I mean, these are just, this is what Cheryl Atkinson said before Congress. So we sit here and wonder how much is being covered up in the dirtiest of ways. And mine was just a very, very small bit of that.
Ivory Hecker, appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We're not done yet. Pretty eye-opening, isn't it? We'll be back.
What is the evidence that these COVID deaths are actually being overcounted?
Well, this is the reason why this kind of transparent reporting is going to be so important. There is a way for us to look at death certificates and also to look at the medical records of individuals prior to their death. And I think this needs to be separated into three categories. One is the COVID as a direct contributor, the primary cause of death. The second is, could it be a secondary contributing cause? So, for example, somebody with kidney disease, COVID then pushes them over the edge to have kidney failure. That's COVID as a contributing cause. And then the third is COVID as an incidental finding. So somebody coming in with a gunshot wound or a heart attack and they happen to test positive.
Wow. That lady's trying to say we should be calm and discerning when we're trying to figure out just how deadly the new virus is? Huh. What a concept. Joining me now, Jeffrey Tucker, founder and president of the Great Brownstone Institute. Wow, Jeffrey, I've got to tell you, I think that sounds like a great idea. Where was that, America, about, oh, I don't know, 2.5 years ago?
Well, you summed it up. Dr. Nguyen has been busily rolling back all of her previous stuff. You know, she was one of the most extreme on vaccine mandates and lockdowns and, you know, the whole COVID bit. And now we're getting a little bit of truth from her. But what your viewers need to understand is that the mandate from the federal government and the encouragement that they classify everybody with a positive COVID test, whether they had COVID or not, just like a PCR test, who died in the hospital was in fact classified as a COVID death. Deborah Birx announced this publicly, bragged about it in her typical slightly stupid way. She probably spoke out of turn. She said in mid-April sometime, we are classifying everybody with a PCR positive COVID test as a COVID death. So at that moment, everybody in America should have known that you cannot trust any of the statistics coming out of the hospital system or the CDC after that point. In fact, it's so bad that we even today don't really have a good fix on what's called the case fatality rate, the people who actually had COVID and the number of percentage of those who died, because we actually don't have good death data due to this rampant misclassification that's been going on for 2.5 years.
That's so crazy to me. Not only do we not have the truth, they lied for so long, we'll probably never be able to get it. They've screwed everything up so bad. Honestly, this goes right in line with this video, with the media talking about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I'm sure you've seen it 1,000 times, but here it is again.
Ivermectin is something more often used to deworm horses.
Rogan telling his 13 million Instagram followers that he was treated with several drugs, and he included ivermectin on the list, a drug used for livestock.
Rogan said the word ivermectin. Yes, that's the deworming medicine made to kill parasites. And
so things are clearly bad. but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste.
Hydroxychloroquine does more bad than good for coronavirus patients.
In the study of 96,000 hospitalized coronavirus patients on six continents found that those who received that drug promoted by Donald Trump as a, quote, game changer in the fight against the virus had a significantly higher risk of death.
Taking hydroxychloroquine, despite mounting evidence that it doesn't work against COVID-19 and could, in fact, be harmful.
Jeffrey, okay, so they wanted to classify every death as coronavirus, and yep. They also wanted to make sure, and I don't know anything about those two drugs, I'm certainly not a doctor, but they wanted to make sure any potential treatment for it was shut down and shunned immediately. That, for a lot of people, was the Brett Kavanaugh trial, but for me, how the media treated hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin was the turning point when I went from them being left to them being flat-out murderous and evil. That's where I am now.
That's very interesting. This is one of the many, many, many scandals of the period, but the complete neglect of early treatment. And back in December already, you saw a push by the FDA to get rid of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and these other therapeutics from being available over the counter. And part of the reason for this, I mean, it's so dark and difficult to understand, but in order to get the EUA that was passed for the vaccines, meaning that they could bypass regular FDA approvals, there had to, according to law, there couldn't be any alternative to them. So they wiped all the repurposed drugs off the market. And we also need to understand that, you know, this is not crazy stuff. Doctors have been using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for this kind of infection for decades. It was very commonly prescribed for these kinds of infections, together with other things like zinc and vitamin D and so on. They make for a good way for people who are having severe medical infections from COVID to overcome them. Well, they gave us no way, if you think about this. I mean, between February of 2020 and all the way to basically a year later, the government had no instructions for anybody on what you're supposed to do if you get sick with COVID. There wasn't anything. They used ventilators, but we know those killed tens of thousands of people pointlessly, probably. I mean, do you hardly ever come back from being vented? Intubation's very invasive. And other than that, they took all the therapeutics off the market. There were many countries that use these therapeutics. I mean, I was just in Mexico. You can buy ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine in every drugstore, and everybody knows about them. You know, they're very common drugs. So there's no question. And doctors knew exactly what was going on. You say that was your sort of, I guess, for lack of a better term, red pill moment. For many doctors, they knew for sure that something had gone very wrong because they normally would have treated their patients with all these normal repurposed drugs and therapeutics. Whole organizations have started in defiance of the NIH and the FDA. And the NIH never ran any kind of randomized trials at all on these repurposed drugs, which we know from many experiences all over Latin America and India and so on, were actually remarkably effective. In fact, many Americans finally got hold of ivermectin, took it, and felt, you know, better within a matter of hours for the first time in weeks after suffering. So this is an amazing scandal, one among many.
You've mentioned it's one among many, and it's so true, but how am I and this is an odd question to ask, I realize it, but it just popped into my head while you were talking. How am I supposed to digest as an American citizen, not as some TV host or something like that, someone who gets to talk to Jeff Tucker on TV, how am I as an American supposed to process the fact that the American media actually wants me dead? The FDA either wants me dead or wants me severely sick or compliant. That's quite a thing. They're not incompetent. They're not wrong. That sounds murderous and evil. How am I supposed to process that?
I don't really know the answer to that. The loss of trust has been so overwhelming in government, in media in particular. It was the New York Times that started all this disease panic and hysteria and lockdown propaganda all the way from February 27th going further. The New York Times was chosen by somebody to be the first organization, the first media outlet to really come out with a disease panic and lockdown propaganda very early on, and everybody followed up from that. We know that big tech was involved in suppressing alternative voices. We were censored, not from 2021, but all the way from spring of 20. And we know for sure that the NIH and the CDC were deeply involved in censoring science and banning repurposed drugs and arguing for crazy crank ideas like, you know, we've got to keep you from singing in your church. Only that's going to keep you well, right? That's what they told us. So I know what you mean. It's very difficult to come to terms with this sort of amazing loss of trust. So many people have trusted these institutions for their entire lives, only to wake up one day and realize they've been lying to us for nearly 3 years now on the orders of somebody and in collusion with somebody. It's a shocking thing to realize it, but it is the reality. We have to come to terms with it. Lies are weird because they leave a vacuum, right? You know that what they're saying is not true, but you still don't know what in fact is true. And that's a difficult psychological state to be in, but that's where we are. And we're Brownstone Institute's working on trying to dig up that truth every single day, and I know you are too.
Jeffrey Tucker, thank you so much, sir. Come back soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. There was a golden age on the internet for hilarious videos, and we dug one of those up as a light in the mood, because I need one after that. Next. You know, we don't do enough for lighten the mood. Because, you know, at the end of every show, we like to lighten the mood, play a little video, maybe something stupid a politician did, something heartwarming every now and then. We don't go back to the classics. Because, man, there have been some classics. You remember this little gem?
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop, and then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, I'll see ya.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz.
Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.